It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Bears hit time with Mark Grody. It is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Grotes, Bears, Panthers, Bears. What do we need to know from Halas Hall today?
Lawrence, great to hear your voice, Speaks. Welcome back. Happy New Year. And here is what's going down with the Bears today. Tevin Jenkins did practice again, limited in practice, but he is officially questionable for the game. Talked to Matt Eberflus today and asked him, is that a pain tolerance thing? And he said, yes, that is a pain tolerance thing for Tevin Jenkins. And I did have a talk with Tevin at his locker yesterday, and he confirmed that as well, that he's been having difficulty sleeping and having to sleep on one side. But my guess is that he will go. DeAndre Carter also limited, same injury essentially. He is questionable for the game. Zach Pickens, Terrell Smith, they are officially out. Better news, though, Jervon Dexter, Cole Kmet, Montez Sweat, Mercedes Lewis, who had all been dealing with minor injuries throughout the week, they are good to go. And as I was saying this morning, guys, I mean, it just feels like this all-hands-on-deck thing the Bears have with this sort of let's get our acts back together after that two-game losing streak and a chance to get over 500 if they do beat Carolina along the lakefront on Sunday.
Good clarity there. The only name I didn't hear, and maybe because he's not even on the injury report, Keenan Allen, plantar fasciitis, not an issue at this point?
Yeah, man, I'm glad you brought that up, Speaks. He has not been on the injury report at all this week. None of the days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and that goes along with the theme of we got to get this thing rolling, we got to keep this thing rolling, and we've got to get those three wide receivers rolling as well, and he's a big part of it.
Yeah, I think that three wide receiver offense, and Olin even referenced it, a guy who loves power football, referencing you see what they're doing when they have the three wideouts there, it creates a thin box by the defense, and then they can run on that thin box. That's clearly the identity by design at this point.
The idea of having all of those weapons needing to be accounted for, that then leaves the back door open if you want to do something off of it. And recognizing that is now going to be incumbent upon Caleb Williams and the coaches to make sure that they take advantage of the numbers mismatch that ends up happening. And he's right. Like, this is what it's supposed to look like. And now can you build off of it?
This is what we were all hyping up all throughout the preseason. This is why most people had the Bears in double-digit victory. So hopefully we'll see that come together a little bit more this week. And if I may, I would like to play a little bit of audio here now from the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus. And something that has popped up, guys, you guys may have even talked about this, but it is in regards to the Bears offense, is the lack of pre-snap motion relative to other teams in the league. And I'll have some numbers for you. And shout out to CHGO's Nick Moriano for the great question and some of the stats as well. But here is Matt Eberflus with the question attached to it.
Matt, when it comes to using motion on offense, what are the benefits of that? I know just so far through the first 4 weeks.
You said motion, not emotion. Okay.
Motion. What are the benefits of that for a quarterback? I know that you guys haven't really used it as much as you would see league-wide so far.
Yeah, it's just it forces communication, you know, on the other side. You know, so whenever you have that, you know, your coverages, it forces your fronts to move sometimes, but certainly your coverages. And then your gaps, you know, your gaps that you fit into change as you go, especially when you're a zone cover down team. You know, if you're playing man, they're just chasing guys all over the place. But just adjustment of gaps and communication.
So it's interesting. So what are the numbers, Groats, as far as you have?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Speaks. The Bears right now are 30th in the league at 47.1%. Of course, rookie quarterback Caleb Williams. Let me give you a couple others here, Speaks. Washington Commanders, 29th, rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. Denver Broncos, 32nd, rookie quarterback Bo Nix. So isn't that interesting that that exists? These guys are a little bit conservative on that end, and I do wonder if that will start to raise as the season goes on for all of those teams, for that matter.
I wonder about that, too, where I wonder if, because usually the default setting, like very, very basic football, is motion allows you to figure out if teams are in man or zone. And if you're a young quarterback and you go, oh, I've recognized that they're totally in man and these defenses flip to a zone post-snap, then they could end up being screwed. So maybe they don't want to mess with the young quarterback's eyes by using motion to set their default of being like, I know exactly what the defense is in, when you don't.
Groats, do you have anybody at the top by any chance? Do you know who's 1, 2, and 3?
I actually don't have the whole list.
Okay,
I'm just interested in who was at the bottom and then putting together the correlation the rookie quarterbacks.
Just in my quick look, I saw from the first 2 weeks it was Saints, Lions, Chiefs, and Packers towards the top of the list, and the Rams too. So there's a lot of veteran quarterbacks and a lot of good smart offenses to go along with what you're saying.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And another thing from Matt Eberflus today, we know that the Bears are favored to win. I think most people are picking the Bears to beat Carolina this week. And one of the injuries, or one of the reasons, is injuries. And the Panthers are going to be without two of their starting linebackers, and Josie Jewell and Shaq Thompson. Matt Eberflus is a linebacker through and through, so he's going to comment on that. And we got the double for you guys. We're also going to hear about Doug Kramer, because Doug Kramer officially, you know, part of your show. You guys talk to Doug.
Absolutely.
He's your guy. Mm-hmm. So there's a Doug Kramer question attached to this as well. So take a listen to the Flus.
Yeah, you know, you have guys step up. You know, it's next man up, and that's the mentality we always have, and I'm sure they have the same mentality. You know, the guys have to function. They have to communicate and get the calls to the secondary, make the adjustments up front, you know, if you're moving your front around. So it's a big job to play linebacker. It's the quarterback. You know, him and the safety are the quarterbacks of the defense. So it's always a difficult task because I've been in that situation. I remember back when I was a linebacker coach. But the guys will step up, and you know, and you coach them up.
How close is Doug Kramer to getting to a level where, like, this guy really could be an NFL starter?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that he gets the time in there. You know, I know it's fullback and different spots that we're putting him in, but you know, that's always valuable time, you know, and experience to be able to get in there. And he's working his butt off. You know, I can't really put a timetable on that. I just think it's based on production, based on opportunity, and we'll see where it goes. But he's really working hard and doing a good job.
Starter at fullback for Doug Kramer. I like it. Oh, is he mean offensive line? Is that what he meant? I like the idea of Doug Kramer working his way towards being a starter in the backfield for the Chicago Bears.
I guess maybe the question is, where is Kari Blasingame?
That's a really good question. Yeah. I mean, like, Kari Blasingame has been front and center in the locker room, and I'm sure he's wondering, too, like, what exactly is going on. They I guess they don't want to use an actual fullback in that spot. My gut, too, guys, on Doug Kramer is, and just reading between the lines from Matt Eberflus on that answer right there, I don't think that they look at Doug Kramer as somebody who is eventually going to be a starter on this offensive line. I mean, I think they've made that pretty apparent with being, you know, I guess, careless with him on the roster last year. Letting him go.
Letting him go to Phoenix for a while. And
Exactly. You know that's a beautiful country, Lawrence. So I mean, it was very, very nice of them to. You know what, Doug? We like you. You're a Chicago guy.
You stayed at Lawrence's place. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's wintertime. Where else would you rather be?
Right. And they saw. They know he's got. He's up to 9.5 bears. They listen. They know where he is. So they're like, yeah, we'll take care of you. We're pretty sure you're not going to get picked up, so we'll bring you back and we'll make you into a fullback.
I love that you brought him up because he is a member of the show.
Yes.
He looks like the mini fridge. If you believe the Twitch stream that we used in Connor O'Donnell's editing, Doug Kramer actually looks a lot like a miniature refrigerator. And this could be the weekend. By the time we talk on Monday, Doug Kramer might have a touchdown.
Does Doug Kramer look like a mini fridge? I don't know. I love the nickname, trust me, and I get it.
You didn't watch the segment? You didn't watch the segment? He looks a lot like a mini fridge.
I actually did hear the segment, so it was theater of the mind. Apparently, you guys had yourselves a little mini fridge in the studio. Is that what happened?
In one of the chairs up next to a microphone.
Yeah, there was a microphone leaning. It was leaning against the mini fridge.
So we have the three shot. on Twitch, and then when Doug would answer the question, Connor would go to the one shot of the fridge.
Just a remarkable moment.
You should have asked him if he's defrosted or something like that.
He did.
That's unfortunate.
That was when we needed to change the backdrop of the interview.
Yeah.
Because I thought for sure he would have hung up on that.
It's my least favorite moment of the Spiegel and Holmes show so far.
Sorry to bring it up.
Thanks for bringing that back.
You know how we do.
But you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of stuff percolating with this game, and I like Eberflus thinking about those linebackers being out. He's always reading keys like he did with Butkus. There's a lot of pressure on Caleb and the offense. What else you got, Mr. Groats?
Yeah, let's take you into the locker room. We have a very rowdy Friday. It's always like spirited on a Friday in the Bears locker room, but it just seemed like it was a little bit extra today in a good way. But we did find Rome Odunze. I hadn't really talked to him this week. So far this season, 10 catches for 166 yards and a touchdown. And just like with Caleb Williams, everybody wants more from Rome Odunze. Here he is.
You know, I want to, you know, do more, and that's always my mindset, regardless of what I go out there and do. So, for me, you know, I want to make sure I'm being a playmaker every time I step on that field. So, definitely not to my expectations, but, you know, those flows of the game kind of happen. So, I'm just going to continue to put in the work and believing in myself, believing in this offense to get to that point.
What indicators do you see that say, as soon as this offense gets going, it's gonna break big?
I'd see us putting in the work, you know. Honestly, that's all I need to see is, you know, good things will happen to those doing the right things, and I think we're doing the right things, you know, week in and week out, and, you know, those things will continue to shine or continue to develop and eventually, you know, be put into the light. So I'm confident in that.
As far as yourself, though, as far as your own performance, do you see, like, plays that you maybe couldn't make in week one or two that you'll be able to make in week seven or eight? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. As I continue to, you know, develop in this game and, you know, develop at the speed of the play at this level, that I'll continue to be able to develop and make those plays, you know, at some point, and, you know, eventually, you know, make every play that comes to me. That's the goal.
What's the missing element? Is it just experience? Is it just snaps? Or is there something that just needs to happen for it to?
I don't know. I think it's a combination of things. You know what I mean? All I can do is, you know, is continue to, you know, perfect my game and make sure I'm being, you know, detailed and dialed on everything that I can do within this offense. And, you know, the plays will come to me, I think, you know, when that happens. So just staying on my P's and Q's.
I got zero doubts about that guy's professionalism and that guy's possibilities. If he stays healthy, that's going to be a very productive NFL receiver for a long time.
And we've had Caleb say, look, I'm going to get him more opportunities. He had the career high 11 targets against Indy. But since then, he hasn't had a combined 11 targets. He's only had 9 targets over the last 2 games. So as the passing offense becomes more comfortable, as Caleb decides, you know, picks better when to take the chances down the field versus taking the checkdowns, I'm with you, Spiegs. I feel like we're going to see the best version of Rome Odunze on this.
Hey, Groats, I just had a vision. As Rome is talking, you know all those times you look at an NFL offense, say it's Atlanta last night, or it's, you know, the Rams, whoever is healthy at wide out, like it was. Like, when a team runs the ball successfully and they have viable people at wide receiver, everybody ends up getting theirs. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you're like, you look at it from the back end, and you try to reverse engineer and figure out, damn, why is that offense so productive? What's happening? I don't care if it's outside zone or inside zone. When you have found a way to run, run the ball. When you found a way to run, run the ball. Get the linebackers to move up. I think the Bears figured something out last week. And I think if they stick to some of the concepts that they have found, they're going to have a very productive week again. And this should be the beginning for a good offensive run that won't be perfect because Caleb will still have work to do and everybody will still have work to do. But I think we're going to look back on this transition game against the Rams as the starting point of a really good functional NFL offense.
I hope you're right about the running backs for sure. I mean, DeAndre Swift, man, he needed that game maybe more than anybody last week, if nothing else at all, to get his confidence up because he's been hanging his head. And he's a very serious guy. Like today in the locker room, he didn't want to talk. I mean, he was pleasant and polite, but he's serious, and I think he took those few weeks where the running game wasn't working very seriously. The Bears paid him to be the number one running back, so hopefully that will continue. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Roshon Johnson and the development that he is having as well. I'd like to see a little bit more Khalil Herbert, so I hope it does carry on. One thing, too, on Roma Dunze, I do wonder, like, with the complications right now that Caleb Williams and DJ Moore are having getting on the same page, and then you've got Keenan Allen coming in here, it does feel like Roma Dunze, while we've seen big plays to Roma Dunze, and he's had a 100-yard game already this year, I do think that the priorities from the team are going to be, let's get the DJ Moore connection down, let's figure out Keenan Allen as well, and Rome as well. I mean, whatever works, works, but we know that there's already seemingly an issue in terms of getting DJ more involved in the game.
And it's something that Caleb is going to have to navigate, that's for sure.
In a big way, yeah. And I mean, I guess that's one thing we didn't really think about as much when all of these receivers came in. Like, it just seemed like, okay, it's going to be flinging the ball. Whoever your choice is, going to throw it to Rome, going to throw it to Keenan, going to throw it to DJ Moore. But yeah, I mean, it is up. It is on the rookie quarterback to disperse the football, make big plays, and make conservative plays when he has to.
Before we get to nuggets and tidbits, I want to ask your opinion on something that we were actually just talking about during the break. Mercedes Lewis, when he references that they need to be coached up hard, do you think he's referencing Caleb Williams as part of that? Is Caleb Williams getting coached up hard enough by Shane Waldron? Is it possible that has changed over the past week as part of Mercedes Lewis's request to the coaching staff?
It's an interesting theory. I would find it very hard to believe that Caleb Williams wasn't being coached up hard just because of how important he is. And just from what I can, obviously we only get a glimpse of the practices now, but having been out here at Halas Hall for all the OTAs and the training camps, they were constantly in his ear, constantly. Shane Waldron, you saw it on Hard Knocks, Matt Eberflus standing behind Caleb Williams. So, you know, I don't know the content of the coaching and the tone they use with him and how harsh they are with him, but I'd be very surprised if, like, sometimes, I mean, with a quarterback, it's almost like Mitch Trubisky had this, too many voices. I remember that being a topic at one point in time, so it seems like all those voices are in Caleb's head. Now, is he being coached hard? That part, I do not know.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's no way to know, but it's just the idea of, like, being critical of him. Lawrence, if he screws up, tell him he screwed up.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, like, when you go back and listen to what Mercedes said, where he's like, yeah, you got to coach us hard from the oldest, a.k.a. me, mm-hmm. you know, down to the youngest, who would clearly be Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, right?
Sanchez said last week that these false starts are on Caleb. He flat out said that. You know, if he needs to get out of the huddle faster, and he's been talking about that. To his credit, he's brought that up. I hope he's getting told you need to do X and Z faster.
I will say that the beauty, I think, of Caleb Williams so far is that it doesn't seem like he needs a lot to critique himself. That there are some guys where they kind of blindly, like, stare at you. But even after a game, like, Groats could ask Caleb a question, and he'll be like, okay, wait, what play do you mean? And they'd be like, okay, I got it. Yes, I was late on that particular throw. That, to me, is a sign of someone who cares about craft and wants to be great at it.
You remember there was a preseason moment when Caleb was asked what the coaches were doing, were giving to him that was good, and he said their grace. Like, they were giving him some grace. Mm-hmm. And you know, because he's hard on himself. And I remember celebrating that.
I think it's a good thing.
I agree. But once you get going and you're in season, you can't, I hope you can't worry about a kid being too hard on himself. If he needs to be told he screwed something up, go ahead and tell him. He'll figure it out. Maybe he'll look to his teammates. You can tell him.
I think he's pretty level-headed about all of that. And to Lawrence's point, that this guy so far, and we all wonder what's, you know, the Caleb Williams has this really gregarious personality and he's very likable. And that was all during, you know, from the combine throughout the preseason. This guy is great. He's been exactly the same now that the real stuff has started, and he has not flinched once when we have asked him difficult questions, whether it's right after a game or if it's up at the podium. And I'll say this too, while I don't think anybody's going to have serious talks with Caleb Williams in the locker room, but he's always there and willing to talk to just about anybody, which is different from any quarterback I've ever covered. I mean, like Justin Fields was there, Mitch Trubisky was in there, Andy, all those guys were, but there was sort of this kind of hand, you've talked to him already, stay away. Caleb Williams is just like this wide open guy. I hope it continues with him like that, because he's been great that way.
Nuggets and tidbits.
Got a few things for you guys. Roma Dunze, let me tell you what. He let the hair out of the braids today for us. He looked like a rock star with his big blonde hair, with like almost unrecognizable to us as we talked to him. Of course, I had to ask questions about it. He said that you will see it, not this week, but you will eventually see it. And we're like, how are you going to get the helmet over your head? And he said, no, it's actually very, you just got to have the right technique. You got to let the hair out of the ear holes. And he says it's extra protection in case of concussion. So it was this whole thing. With,
oh, my
with
God. Roman.
Wait.
He really said extra protection in case of concussion?
Right. I mean, he was joking. But yeah, I mean, that's that. He obviously has had this line of questioning before.
More guys are starting to wear the helmet cap, though.
Yeah.
Which I think that's is a good thing.
It looks cool.
I do, too. No, I mean, I remember talking to guys when that – are you talking about the big foam thing on top?
Yeah, guys doing it in practice, and the ones that you can wear in games, more guys are wearing that than I think the league expected.
Well, the only reason I'm questioning is because Spiegel just said that they look cool.
I think they did the great – I thought the Great Gazoo was cool. You know what I mean?
Okay, that explains it. No, I get
that's
it.
Right, dum-dum.
I thought he was cool. So
during training camp, when they first started wearing these things a couple of years ago, guys hated them. That's why I say they look, and they said specifically because they look ridiculous.
I know.
But they are effective. But, you know, vanity's a thing.
I thought Mark Kelso looked cool. I mean, it's just me, you know?
Okay. Hey, that's cool, man. You dig what you dig, Speak.
Thanks,
that's
buddy.
Why we love you, man. There were some Australian reporters here, and they, of course, wanted to talk to Tory Taylor, and they were handing him Australian footballs today. So that was going on. And
get away from the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
That's damn right, Speak.
Actually, I thought that Tory Taylor would probably be really happy to see Australian reporters after all the dumb Australian questions.
Hello.
He asked Tory
What's
Taylor.
Up? Let's talk to each other.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a
crikey. Let's talk to each other.
Most dangerous snake ever. One boy for missing a guy, you're dead.
If you guys
mess with his offspring.
If you guys weren't white, I would say this is racist AF, man.
It's continentalist or something. I don't know what it is.
This is why I think Tory Taylor was happy to see Australians in the locker room today, because we're ridiculous.
We all like our own, you know?
We do stuff like that. We just assume that Tory Taylor has kangaroos at home and he's into crocodiles and spiders, but we're idiots because we think that. So, ignorant Americans.
Does he have a kangaroo at home?
No, he doesn't have a kangaroo at home.
need a big room to keep it in.
He does have a koala bear, though. He does have a koala.
It a Joey.
It's a Joey.
It's a Joey.
It's a Joey. And there was some mad Nerf hoops going on in the locker room today.
Nice.
So, that's what I'm saying, man. It was festive in that Bears locker room today. It all equals a win.
Thanks, Groats. Good stuff.
Bears.
Bears. I think Grody is actually 4-0 in his Bears picks this year.
Not he's not on the website. Right now, on the 670 The Score website, Robbie Triano is one of, I believe, there's five of us who are tied for first place.
Yeah, for 3-1. Yeah. I was 3-0, but then I lost.
Yeah, yeah. Okay,
that's
you picked,
how it works, yeah.
Yeah, Robbie picked against the Bears, Tanny.
That's how it works.
He picked the Rams last year.
That's his bit. Usually it's a good bit over the years, because I've certainly done that. I know Evan Thomas, that's his thing, fading the Bears typically. So it works. It's a good strategy.
Yeah.
By the way, Grody's method, he is not on the website, but what he'll do is he will make a pick privately to himself, then after the game he reveals it to all of us. So that's
always
how,
undefeated.
Yeah. Always. That's a good... How do you do that?
Cody?
That's genius.
I'm going to send it then.
It's a good racket if you can do it.
I pick privately with myself.
It's good. Speegs, remember how we were on having guests on today and getting opinions about the locker room protocol stuff?
I do.
The story has been advanced. There's been a statement from the NFL Writers Association.
Oh, interesting, because the players, if anybody doesn't know, the players want NFL media out of their locker room to protect the sanctity of the locker room. The writers have released a statement. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, so why don't we take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll read the statement and talk a little bit about it. We'll do that next. Spiegel and Holmes, here with you until 6. I saw Hub and Rami. They're going to be on at 6 o'clock here on The Score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Spiegel at home.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score. And no, I'm just kidding.
Afternoons on the Score.
In an effort to protect the sanctity of the locker room.
You soiled the sanctity of my home.
You leave pig vomit out of this. This has nothing to do with him. I don't think.
WNBC.
AMBC. Meanwhile, Howard's getting with like $100 million a year.
I don't know, man. It's a lot.
He's doing very well.
He's doing just fine. Pig vomit. He's not. Maybe not. But that's not why you called. We got a lot to do before we get out of here at 6 o'clock.
No, Lawrence? You're right. We have to talk about the beatdown that you suffered before the show.
Uh-huh.
That's something that has to happen.
Got to play a little music about my evening activities I'm very excited about.
So I shared this with Speegs, and Speegs had the exact same reaction that I had when I saw it. Tanny, I don't know if you saw this. So if you didn't, great. Here's what I'm going to share. Yesterday, I saw a video of skateboard legend Tony Hawk with his grandson. And I was like, good for, like, Tony Hawk is a grandfather. Like, that's dope. As a Gen Xer, he is like an emblem for Gen X.
Absolutely.
Tony Hawk, right?
The first pitch, right? At the Padres game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I hadn't seen that. Yeah. But I mean, like, total, obviously brilliant skateboarder, and the video games were great.
Were great. So, Tanny, so do you know the other half of this?
I do. Like, why he's a grandpa? Yeah.
Yeah. So, Robbie, do you know this story?
Not at all.
So, his grandson is Francis Bean's son, which means that this kid, his two grandfathers are Tony Hawk and Kurt Cobain.
That is some outrageous creative lineage.
What?
That is amazing.
He has nothing to live up to at all.
No.
At age 4 days, he was playing guitar on a skateboard. It was amazing.
Yes, and writing incredible songs.
The possibility, and he...
That his future wife will try and take credit for. Am I still bitter? Yes.
He also...
Very much so.
He's also going to write an entire album for his future wife.
Uh-huh, which was an excellent album.
And then after he dies...
She delivered it. After
he dies, Billy Corgan will write an entire album for his future wife.
And the baby's already wearing a Target brand Nirvana shirt.
Better believe it.
He's already everywhere.
He's already on the cover of a magazine in a pool.
Baby was born in a cardigan. These are the jokes, folks.
But think about that. Like, you're that kid. Yes. Like, yeah, so my grandfather, like, revolutionized skateboarding. And then my other grandfather, like, revolutionized music.
Yeah.
Which one of those do you think is more famous, Tony Hawk or Kurt Cobain?
I think Kurt, because Kurt's no longer
like, who is
here?
Number one? If you like saw them walking down the street, who would get recognized the most?
Well, Kurt, would that be a big story?
Well, yeah, that'd be really difficult.
That'd be like JC coming back. Like, you know, like that'd be a thing.
Well, it defined fame. If you, a picture, more people would ID right, a picture of Kurt Cobain. 100%. Visually and sonically. I don't know any Tony Hawk songs. I don't know any. So I'm going to say Cobain, but you know.
I think I would go with that as well.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
I just think it was dope. I'm glad that we got to share that moment as Gen Xers, because that's some wild bleep.
It's outrageous.
Right there. All right. So back to one of the news stories of the day.
Mm-hmm.
The NFLPA, I think the players are trying to get a semblance of privacy and space when it comes to their locker room situation. So they want to work with the writers and they want to work with the NFL on working on different policies. The PFWA, which I believe Hub is still a member, so Hub will probably have some thoughts on this that can go even deeper starting at 6 o'clock. But the PFWA put out a statement, and their statement reads as such. The PFWA appreciates the NFLPA membership following the NFL media policy that has been in place for decades. NFL players asking to speak outside the locker room has always been part of the league's media access policy. We are in continuing discussions with the NFLPA executives regarding the media access policy. The goal is to make everyone comfortable in locker room settings and to have players and clubs follow the NFL media policy. Close quote. What I think is interesting is that you can read that as the PFWA saying, hey, there are already rules in place to allow for this to happen if those policies were just to be followed by the team. I think that it needs to be, I think that all of us could use a little bit more of a breakdown of some of that stuff. And I also think times have changed, where players of the generations of guys that I covered maybe wouldn't have been comfortable saying, could we please get cameras out of here when I'm trying to get dressed, and just accepted it as part of the job.
Mm-hmm.
I think these players are saying, guys, my personal space and my privacy is really important. Can we take a look at fixing this?
Yeah. You know, there's a knee-jerk reaction from me when I hear the NFL players reference COVID and the taste they got for not having media in the locker room. And it was referenced twice in the statement by the Bengals representative, as he was the first one to talk about it earlier in the day. And there's a knee-jerk reaction from me because a lot of media access went away from COVID that has been slow to come back or not come back. And I think specifically of baseball broadcasts traveling with the team.
Yes.
And a lot of personnel traveling with the team. And so I have a harsh reaction to the idea of like, well, we got a taste for it during COVID and that's the way we want it, and it's our product and we do the thing. And media should be treated with respect as an important part of it. And the quality of the broadcasts when broadcasters don't travel takes a massive dip.
But to me, that's,
but those are different things.
It's different because they to are. Me, that is about the cheapness of Major League Baseball owners. That's what that was. And it should have been infuriating to anyone who cared about their baseball team if their play-by-play and color guy weren't traveling back then. It was really, really annoying.
Can I give you an extra nugget on that, by the way?
Absolutely.
Tell you this right now, that some national television broadcasts for baseball are not traveling their production. And the producers and all the production elements are away, wherever they are, and the broadcasters are pretty much on their own. It's like the broadcasters working off, you know, with cameramen, but they're like on talkback to producers, and there's like a 2-second delay.
Yes.
And the video monitors that they're using have a 2-second delay. They can't call pitches off the monitors with that benefit that they actually do during the year. So there are still many kind of media shortcuts taken by media companies or by teams, to your point, that irritate me. But with a little more time to relax and think about this, I'm where Dan Weiderer was when we talked about it earlier, and I think where you are with
as long as Olin is too. It's funny that
as long as it's managed well and there is some form of access, players having privacy so they don't have to show their naked butts to the world by accident is
what brought it to light. Was a couple guys naked on camera?
Yes. And I mean, look, like
one was Lexington Steel.
Well, then we all got a problem. But
I know that's an old reference. I don't have any new ones.
I know that we're joking about this, but I mean, for some people that's an issue. Like, you don't want to be shared naked, coming out of a cold shower or whatever. Like, it is an invasion of privacy.
Shrinkage.
And yes. And so I understand every player. And like we were saying, like, just the access to the locker room or people being able to move freely in a locker room can be disrupted by so many people in the media, so many cameras, like just the equipment of it. But you're right. You have to be careful of the slippery slope of, does this allow for folks to not do their obligations to the media? That's why I keep talking about the playoff and Super Bowl model, where this guy is going to be here from this time to this time.
Sure.
And whoever wants to talk to him during that period can do so. This guy is going to be here. I think there are ways that you can do it. And even with request of maybe someone who isn't a regular, like, for example, Doug Kramer would have been that guy this week.
We'll be bringing Doug Kramer out.
Yeah. That's all you got to do.
Right. But I do think, and I think it was Dan who said it, post-game locker room, I think you're going to have to let people in.
I have no solution for that.
I'll think about it,
but I don't have one for that yet.
Everybody's working a deadline. Everybody's doing their thing. You're chasing a million different stories with a million different angles. You got to go to the visiting locker room as well.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a lot going on.
Also, for honesty's sake, too.
Yes, yes.
Getting them right after a game.
Get an answer as fast as possible.
Days after, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no doubt about it.
So I suffered a deep-seated cultural embarrassment at the hands of a man I'm growing to loathe. We need to touch on that.
Here's the thing about that, too, Speaks. We just had this Gen X moment of excellence,
yes.
And then you drag us back into the mud.
That happened.
Way to go, Spiegel.
Yeah. I'm the future.
Damn right you are, Robbie.
Oh, boy, I don't like that. So, the future damaged me. But then I'm going to get spiritually well tonight. Want to share that with you as well. It's Spiegel and Holmes coming up before Rami and Hub at the top of the hour on 670 The Score.
I don't know what's going to happen in the next 7 minutes or however long it takes me to get through this. I'm going to try to say some thank yous. Robbie Triano, you're excellent. You're going to be a star. I asked him to kind of back up Shane throughout this whole thing, and he just jumped in. It was amazing.
Pass the peas like you used to say. Pass the peas like you used to say.
Star. A star, really. Robbie Triano is a good producer. He's a very, very smart man, good sports fan, good thoughts. Does a lot of excellent prep when he gets to work with us and work with others.
And
he beat me in Tecmo's Super Bowl today.
How is that possible, Speed?
All we did was play one half. In fact, we bailed with like less than a minute left in the second quarter.
No.
I would have come back and beat him. We did a lot of work there.
Thank you, Lawrence.
It was not we. You bailed.
Well, that's because we had a show to plan, all right?
Show was planned.
Just turn the mic on. You're fine.
I'm in a terrible mood because Robbie beat me. It was the first time he ever played. It's awful. But thankfully, I'm going to get well spiritually tonight because I'm going to go see this man play the trombone. Oh, yeah, this is Fred Wesley. Come on now. That man, Fred Wesley, was the band leader and musical director for James Brown for multiple decades, and then quit James Brown to go join Parliament Funkadelic, played with Bootsy, has played with everybody. And he's at City Winery tonight with his band, and I'm just going to go hang out with the wife, have some food, some wine, and watch that man play music and just dig it. And it's going to take my mind off losing at Tecmo's Super Bowl to Robbie Triano.
Man, that just feels good. Like,
doesn't it?
Well, you didn't have a good team when you were playing. Oh, wait, what's... Wait,
it was the AFC Pro Bowl team that I had. You had the NFC Pro Bowl team.
I did have Jerry Rice, so I think that is a little unfair.
Steve Young to Jerry Rice was a good combination. When you did that, it went very well for you. But yeah, I had Barry Foster at running back.
That's Steve Young and Jerry Rice. That's one of those glitches you have when you're playing the Pro Bowl. Like, no team should have that in real life. No team would ever have that.
And I chose Pro Bowl. I thought it was the 91 version of Tecmo's Super Bowl, which has Bo Jackson. This was the 93. Barry Foster instead of Bo Jackson?
Yeah.
I would have taken Bo after the hip injury.
Yeah, I had to remind Speaks that Bo Jackson was hitting behind Frank and Robin in 1993. And he's not in that video game. Creating magical moments for me and my youth.
Yeah, Barry Foster, he didn't play any baseball.
I have never seen someone be so quick to try and change their running back out than Spiegs was.
I was like, Thurman Thomas has to get these plays.
Where's Christian Okoye, by the way?
I think he's 2 years away.
Yeah, well, no, he was earlier. He was early because Okoye and Barry Word was the were the Chiefs running backs in the 91 version. This is the 93 version.
Oh, yeah.
With Barry Foster of the Steelers.
I don't want to make you feel worse, but I don't know who any of these people are.
Oh, it's the worst. It's so embarrassing when the youth of today.
No, you're right.
I was born in 95.
Christian Okoye was out of the game.
Yeah, by 93.
By 93, he's gone.
Yeah, he's toast.
Yeah, he had those 6 years of brilliance, and then he was gone.
Yeah, man. It ended fast when it ended for Christian Okoye. And Barry Foster was like, he was he pre-Jerome Bettis in that Steelers backfield? He was good for like a year, but he doesn't deserve. Get off my Pro Bowl squad, Lawrence. You brought in the thing. Tell people the thing that you brought in.
So I've got the Super NES, and I put a video up yesterday on Twitter. I think it's actually the last thing that I tweeted. Now that I think about it, at Lawrence W. Holmes, you can see it. And Shane, it all kind of came together because Shane was like, "Hey guys, I finally got a TV for the office." So I said, "Oh well, I'll just bring my SNES in here. And we can just play."
Yeah.
But a listener hacked mine and added like a whole bunch of games. We got 330 games.
Oh, I didn't realize that was a listener hack.
Yeah. A listener hooked me up.
Man, they know stuff.
They do know stuff.
There's enough of them that they know things and can help you.
So now, that's like, amazing. Whether it's NBA Jam or Big Hurt Baseball, we also have Big Hurt Baseball on that SNES.
Let's go.
Miss Pac-Man. I know we're both passionate about Miss Pac-Man.
I've never played Miss Pac-Man with a Nintendo controller.
It's not fun. You need the joystick.
You have to have the joystick.
Yeah, the joystick is a very important part of it. But there's all sorts of games that we get to play on it, and it's great that we have it here in the office.
It's so great, and I look forward. We get Robbie on Monday again. Robbie, let's play again on Monday.
I am 100% down.
He's going to practice all weekend, Robbie.
You got Coach K basketball on that thing?
Yeah, I think
so. Get the running revs out here.
Yeah, I think we do actually have that.
Larry Johnson and Stacey Ogman, Greg Anthony out there.
No, pre-NIL. Nope.
No, don't worry. They were still getting it.
Oh, yeah. No names. No names out there.
They were definitely still getting that NIL for sure.
Yeah, they got their NIL in brown paper bags.
Yes, they got it the old-fashioned way. They earned it.
While sitting in hot tubs with strippers, I believe, is how they got theirs delivered.
However they wanted to do it, those Vegas nights are a very cool thing, for sure. So thanks for another great week of Spiegel and Holmes. We appreciate it. We will be back on Monday with our two different perspectives of watching the game. We'll break it all down with you. Hopefully it's a Bears win because we like Bears Mondays when they win.
Yeah.
That seems to be a very, very cool thing. Speaks, have fun at the concert tonight. That sounds like it's going to be a blast.
Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you to everybody. Rami and Hub coming up next. But my goodness, it's going to be a great, great weekend in this town. Thanks for listening, everyone, to the Spiegel and Holmes Show on 670 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.